Okay, now I've prepared an agenda for our organization. What we want from the community as fat people with pride.
Hello, world. This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show, where I'm once again joined by my co-host, Jack DeFranco.
Hello, everybody.
And joining us once again are also Ryan Taggart, the newly bespectacled Ryan Taggart with the choppy video feed. And last but certainly not least, the... he who craves much attention, our own steampunk enthusiast, Andrew Rizzitello. What the hell is that? what are we looking at? I don't understand what that eyepiece is.
So
is that like the modern jeweler's loop or an old timey jeweler's loop?
Like Mad Eye Moody.
Yes, there we go, Jack.
Andrew's cosplaying on this week's episode.
I mean, you guys saw me. You saw me in the hat last week. I figured I'd throw the monocle on this week.
Mm-hmm. Andrew and his visual gags.
I have the medium for it now. Why not?
I'm telling you, it's really easy when you have a visual medium and you're kind of playing to a camera. You do default, in a sense, to like, well, what can I do that's visually, you know, maybe I should hang up records and posters, or maybe I should wear a funny hat.
I put up a sheet this week. This whole thing is mine. But...
Well, now we can see you, Jack. Yeah, now we could see you.
You know what's sad is I watched the last video the four of us did, and I didn't pay attention, aside from, you know, technical issues that Chris and I had discussed, I didn't pay attention to anything except me sitting there doing this.
Yeah,
the whole friggin' video.
No matter what,
fucking stop it.
I think we all end up kind of looking at ourselves when watching a video back, kind of like, "Oh, what was I doing?" Oh, but you can't be. I mean, you could be constantly self-conscious, but that just seems like a recipe for disaster. To say, "Wow, I want to see what I'm doing at all times," because then you just end up looking like a
mannequin. it's a mirror completely, yeah. And yeah. Now I get to see the reaction of you three as I stare at myself. Is this voyeurism?
Maybe.
It was bad enough with just audio when we did the show.
I know.
Like, oh my God. I hate my fucking voice.
I know.
Now I keep saying, you know, or clearing my throat a billion times?
Now you can hate your face as much as the rest of us do. It's awesome.
Oh, I already hate my face. Way ahead of you.
Well, I mean, you got the glasses my mother wore from the 80s right now, so.
Yeah, where did you find those glasses?
Yeah, you look like Garth when he shaved his head from Wayne's World. Amazon.
And his Whoa. Audio apparently is.
And his feed is gone. Ryan's iPhone network bandwidth is low, everybody. He's just frozen.
Oh, yeah. He's gone. Someone mute him until he fixes the problem.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to. Sorry, Ryan. You're muted. Your video is way, way off. I apologize. You can rejoin the conversation. As soon as your wireless provider gets their shit together. Yeah. Well, anyway, while Ryan's
he's literally stuck in time.
He's a librarian staring at us right now.
Now he's just gone. He's like, "Fuck you guys, I'm out of here.
I'm going home."
He did. No, actually, I think it may have dropped him from the chat. Sorry, everybody, but Ryan will be back momentarily.
He'll be back.
He'll be back for sure.
Yeah, with a farty vengeance.
Well, in the meantime, just to kind of get things started, I would like to get into our first kind of topic. I mean, if we can call it that, that's the idea, as Ryan is readmitted to the group. Anyway, so there's been a lot of talk, specifically in the last, let's say, well, pretty much since the quarantine began, where everybody's very hyper-conscious about, like, oh, I'm not getting physical activity, and I'm concerned about my weight, and will I gain weight, and all that other stuff. And, yeah, I'll admit, I was partially inspired by, you know, the show we did 2 weeks ago with the video, because I could tell, like, aside from just the feeling that I found some of the weight I lost, I could tell in my face, because the only place I gain weight is in my face and in my gut. Otherwise, I'm basically have the same frame I've always had. I know your bone structure doesn't change, but I'm saying, like, overall, I've been a thin, slenderish kind of guy. I've worn a size 34 waist since high school. That's never changed. I've never gained weight to the point where I had to upgrade. Well, that's
it. Motherfucker, you.
And I get it. Like, that's common. I know that that's something that a lot of people have to deal with. But for me, I like my frame stays the same. Fat only gathers in my stomach and in my face. I wish it didn't get it at all. I wish I was just one of those infinitely skinny people, like, you know, our friends Jimmy and Dan, who just kind of always look the same. But unfortunately, it's something that I'm a little bit conscious of. Well, I mean, self-conscious about, in as much as it's not fun. And the older you get, and we've talked about this a lot over the last near decade, that, yeah, when as you get older, it sticks to you easier, and it's a lot more difficult for it to come off. But there's also this thing that I can't stand, which is a lot of people want to make it this competition to show how productive they can be in quarantine. And that drives me nuts in a similar way. Like, I'm doing this many reps and this many pushups, and check out this easy workout you could do at home. And I'm like, I'm not, I'll be the first to admit.
All right. Can I be the first to talk about the subject before the other two chime in?
I mean,
what are we going to do?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Well, I didn't know if you had
I thought this wasn't a competition.
I'm only the co-host. Fuck it. Go ahead.
Yeah, no.
Step aside, Jack. Jackson.
Yeah. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right.
Christ, you guys. Let's talk. Let's go.
So.
I'm just kidding. I love it.
In response to the competition aspect of it, while a vast majority of the posts that you're talking about are very much geared toward a look at me, look at what I've done, you know, you can do the same, but I'm still going to be better than you type mentality, there are others out there that are genuinely doing it to motivate you. You, the individual. There are gurus, if you want to call it that, because I hate the word influencer.
Yeah, I think we all do. Unless you are an influencer, I'm pretty sure you hate. What? Do you have a velociraptor in your house? What the hell?
I have a gremlin. Excuse me.
I was just wondering what that. Anybody who's just listening to the audio, which, by the way, there is a video version of this show if you want to check it out.
Yeah.
As well.
We're
doing the video thing
again. You can see our smiling fat faces.
Yeah, you can see fat, fuzzy faces.
Yeah.
But
I'm definitely fuzzy right now.
Anybody who's just listening to the audio is like, what the hell was that? Like, there's a screaming bat in Andrew's apartment.
I have a 5-year-old that's running around right now. That's what that is.
That explains it. And she does not yet know that sound travels.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Apparently not.
Back to you, Andrew.
Anyway,
go ahead.
No, but anyway, about that, the gurus out there that are legitimately trying to help people weight-wise through this time spent at home. And I have noticed that even the limited amount of walking that someone does, whether it be in a store like a mall or a food store or anything like that, compared to literally sitting at home for 2 weeks, not being able to go out, substantially increases your waistline.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, go ahead.
What? Go ahead, Chris.
I was just going to say, like, we haven't been, you know, Sherry and I haven't been as physically active as we want to be. And, we've also been, and what I was going to say before you interrupted me was that I and we will be the first to admit that in a time of uncertainty and an uncomfortable time, like a pandemic, we're definitely keen to find comfort and take some enjoyment in the foods we like, which, surprise, surprise, aren't that good for you.
Nope.
There's a reason, you know, fat and sugar and grease and all that stuff tastes so good because it's not good for you. So we have definitely put more weight on because of just saying kind of fuck it. You know, we're comfortable. We're going to enjoy ourselves. And we're not flogging ourselves over it because, yeah, it is an unprecedented time right now. You know, what we're dealing with is not something, as has been said many, many over the many weeks and now months that we've been talking about this on this show anyway, that, yeah, this isn't something anybody has dealt with. And are we searching for some comfort in an uncomfortable situation, partly because of food? Yeah, and we'll admit to it. And certainly other factors like, you know, our sleep schedule's interrupted with both of us being currently out of work. So that certainly has an effect on your metabolism and everything. You know, being on a routine is obviously way healthier than just kind of freewheeling it, especially over the course of 3 months. But it's, we're not happy about it, but at the same time, we're literally just not waking up every day and flogging ourselves because it's, oh my God, we gained weight and you know, this can't be, you know, it's summer. What about it? You know, no one's worrying about a bikini body right now because we're not going to the beach. But, anyway. There is this thing where it's like people are not, I'm not going to say they're going out of their way to shame people who are putting on weight during this time, but it's like, hey, you need to stay motivated, you need to stay tough. And yeah, I agree. There are those people who are trying to inspire and trying to motivate. And yeah, we could go for walks and we should much more than we have. Of course, now we're motivated to do it. Now it's muggy as hell out. Now the humidity is finally starting to kick in. So we're thinking like, damn, we missed our window. We spent spring inside afraid of COVID. But we do want to take some more, have a little more discipline just in what we're eating and just kind of our daily routine to help it. But at the same time, you know, we're not, I mean, I weighed myself for the first time since before this last week on my biweekly trip to bring my parents groceries. And I did, yeah, again, I found some of the weight that I lost over the last 3 months. I'm not at my worst, so I'm not kicking myself and just saying like, oh God, I'm slovenly. It's all over. I'm approaching the middle age spread. No, it's not that. It's not all that bad, but it's not where I want to be. And I'm just wondering how you guys are kind of handling that, because everyone looks more or less the same. And I mean that like not in an ass kissy way, but I don't notice anybody like you guys haven't just gone to seed over the last 3 months. Everyone looks kind of similar. And maybe I do, too, since, you know, I haven't seen any of you guys in any capacity, you know, at least in person in a while. So I mean, Andrew kind of weighed in. Jack, how is it you felt like you've been handling the lack of activity, being at home, not being able to be as active as you want to? Because you and I talked about this in February when we hung out.
Yeah.
You wanted to work towards losing weight and getting in better shape. And then, of course, this happens.
Well, I honestly somewhat feel like you said, none of us look that different. I feel slightly a little bit better, though, because my job was so sit at a desk all day, be stagnant, not really get up that much, not really have much physical activity at all. So being home, I've done things to kind of keep myself busy, whether it's in the house, go grocery shopping. I've got to pick it up again, but I've been doing the DDP yoga program, just to kind of do some sort of stretching and physical activity. But I felt somewhat better just because my job made me feel so sit at a desk. It's kind of like this situation all day for 9 hours, sit at a desk, click a mouse,
right?
Go through reports. So I honestly feel somewhat better that I can get up and walk around or get up and do some, like I give myself some sort of activity per day. And I'd like to think that's somewhat helping better than just sitting at a desk and point click Excel file, sit on the phone and talk to somebody. But, one thing I haven't been doing a lot of, honestly, I haven't had the compulsion to feel take food on for comfort, so to say.
Oh, no. Yeah. Sorry, everybody, we're laughing because Andrew's dicking around his background. He's Weird Al from the Fat video. Andrew's just putting that up to make himself feel better. I don't look like this.
Yeah.
Oh, I do. I know I do.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, prove it. Get up, take your shirt off. Yeah. Now, finish up, Jack.
Oh, no. I kind of feel somewhat better just being home, being able to do what I want to do. And honestly, I haven't taken it upon myself to like eat a lot all day. I just kind of eat smaller meals as opposed to like, okay, now I'm going to eat a bunch of things all at once. And then later I'm going to do the same thing. So eating habit wise, it hasn't really changed for me. It's just, it's weird to say I feel somewhat better, but I know I'm not where at all where I want to be weight wise. So it's weird.
Right. And I knew you were looking to get more physically active. I mean, you know, again, we talked about that as far as working out, just getting out. And obviously the warm weather of summer and spring lends itself to yeah, I'm going to get outside. I'll be, walking the boardwalk is something we normally be doing, you know, during the summer, which is miles, especially if you do it round trip, which you normally do. But that's something that's not as on the table as it has been in previous years. So as much as we're saying, yeah, we'd like to go out. That's not, it's not as likely. It's not impossible.
We have the most unpredictable springs. I mean, I remember 4 weeks ago, it was still like in the 40s and 50s. And now it's up in the 70s and 80s. So you can never really plan
It's been 90 the last 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. You can
with humidity.
Yeah. You can never really plan to have like a spring to be like, okay, it's finally nice out. It doesn't really start getting warmer and finally nice out until Memorial Day weekend. And it goes from like 60 to, like Andrew said, 90. And then you're like, well, now I got humidity and I don't want to go outside because it's hot as hell and I won't make it down the street.
Right.
And not have heat stroke.
So, yeah, I always laughed at that because you guys kind of posted about that in the springs when I was in California and you were all here, where it was like,
endless
Jesus,
winter.
It went from,
it's endless winter. It is.
It went from 55 degrees and then all of a sudden it's like June 4th and then it's 90 degrees and humid as hell.
And windy as hell, too. A couple weeks ago, at the end of May, I was out picking up the garbage on my front lawn because my recycling can blew over.
And you blew away?
No.
Oh, that would have been really funny. I was wearing a loose coat, and it just...
No. Garbage everywhere. So it was just like, we don't have spring in New Jersey. We have endless winter that just goes on until, you know, oh, Memorial Day, I guess it'll leave now.
And you get those teases, like it'll be 75 degrees one day in March, and then everyone's like in shorts and flip-flops, and then the next day it's 40 again. You're like, what the actual fuck?
That happened a couple of days in March, so it wasn't that bad being inside, because it was like, well, the weather's being a very, I was going to say bipolar, but it's just too wild out, which is funny, by the way, just as a little sidebar, when it comes to the crazy weather, that's the funny thing that Sherry and I were laughing about when it comes to weather, because it has been raining a lot lately. Like when it rains, it's been thunderstorming.
Oh, God, yeah.
Apparently it did early this morning and I slept through it, or maybe it was the afternoon. I love it. Because fuck it. Of course.
It was storming down by my mother when I went to go pick up my daughter around 3:30, 4 o'clock. Like I heard a great crack of thunder.
And you love driving in the rain like that?
A great crack of thunder.
I love a great crack.
Into Al's face.
Yeah, I mean, even as of now, I was looking at the forecast, and starting Sunday, it's going to rain for like 5 days straight here. And it's barely going to crack 70 degrees.
All right, now what is happening?
Right. Now, when it rains, it pours, which is the funny thing, because as someone who grew up in Southern California, Sherry doesn't have, like, with earthquakes, they just had an earthquake last week, and she was like, oh, what's everybody complaining? It was like a 3.2, and she just brushes that off. It's like, it's not a big deal to her. She just looks at it as, oh, everybody's freaking out. It was a small earthquake, blah, blah, blah. But here, when it gets windy and rainy, oh, she gets so nervous. She's like a dog during fireworks. Like, she just wants to run and hide. Like, she does not, when it gets windy and when it gets rainy.
Shit gets violent. Thunderstorms,
it does. And that fucks her up, because she didn't grow up with that. She didn't have like heavy thunderstorms, heavy rain, high winds, and especially for us, because we're on the top floor where we live. So it's also we're higher up. So we're, you know, the wind, maybe it's not more intense, but it certainly sounds more intense up here. So that does freak her out when it gets really windy, when it thunderstorms that just go on and on. She's always that does freak her out. But earthquakes, nah. Those don't bother her in the way that this doesn't bother me, but an earthquake is like, shit.
You know. And then you go to the Midwest and they're like, oh, look, there's another nader.
Oh, dude, that was, having driven through the Midwest a couple of times, it is really, really eerie when you're driving a stretch of interstate.
Yeah.
And there's nothing and it's dark and it's the middle of the night. And that happened to me. I think it was when I full on moved back to California. In February of 2013, when I was driving, which I actually just found, I was going through some archive stuff. I found an old SD card from the video camera we used to shoot our only podcast sketches on, and I found some other stuff while I was kind of consolidating folders on my computer, and I forgot that I documented my trips in my round trip in 2012, and then my move out there in February of 2013. I have a lot of video of chronicling me going across the country, talking to the camera, stopping at hotels, road signs, all sorts of shit that I completely forgot I documented, that I guess I had the intention of using on our channel and just never used. So I was actually going through that. It was kind of funny. Maybe we'll put that together. That'd be a nice
piece
of just to be like, hey, this is something I did what felt like a lifetime ago. But anyway, yeah, it started raining when I was driving through, I want to say Missouri, but I don't 100% remember. And when it's just open and you can see the rain in sheets, like as you're going to drive into it, it's literally like just a sheet that you're driving into.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That happened to me last week, headed down to see my mom, which is like, holy shit, the whole parkway was flooded.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that happened to me when I drove back from bringing stuff to my parents. That was the same thing. There was just a section of the parkway that was just crazy rain.
Yeah.
And then it was, you know, and then when I got through it, it was still sunny. The further north I got, the closer to home I got. But when I was going through, again, I think it was Missouri, I just pulled into a rest stop and waited for it to be over. It was fucking, it was bad. And it's weird when there's nothing around you. There's no trees. So that's why when you see as hokey as a movie like Twister is, when you see like there's this big open spaces and something coming towards you, I'd be terrified.
Got it. Love that
because,
movie.
No, you're, the tornadoes you're insane.
Talk. They have voices.
Fucking love that movie.
Okay, Ryan, so how have you been handling the pandemic and weight and, you know, comfort food, all of that stuff? Do you feel like that's affected you at all?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm a wreck.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like through and through. Yeah, we were, Jen and I were doing really, really well in the beginning of the year. Yeah, we decided to like cut the shit and start eating better, bringing our lunches to work, making meals at home. You know, we found a gym that has a daycare, so we would drop off Brie and we would go 3 times a week.
Oh, awesome.
I dropped like 15 pounds first couple months of the year. And then once this hit and we were locked down, we both looked at each other and were like, fuck it.
Yeah.
We bought like four for 10 Hot Pockets and like all frozen foods and cookies and ice cream and chips and all kinds of shit. And we were like, I don't care about anything anymore.
Bagels that you cook incorrectly. Yeah.
Bagels that apparently I cook incorrectly.
Jelly and enough peanut butter.
I decided to just not weigh myself at all during this because I don't even want to see the number on the scale. But I'm sure I gained a lot of it back. Like I feel my body is screaming.
Yeah. It's
and like the thought, I don't know, like there's this weird mental thing going on where I feel like I don't want to drink water. Like the thought of it just repulses me. Like I don't
really
like I'll pour a glass and I look at it. I'm like, I can't fucking do this. So my muscles are literally screaming for water and I don't want to drink it. Like I'm so mentally fucked up by all this that I should probably be seeing a therapist, but it's bad.
I'm telling you, I sip on water all day long, which is one of the things I thought was going to be kind of good and would have a cumulative positive effect.
Oh, because, that's what I've been drinking constantly. Water all the time.
Yeah,
when I was at work, I would. Like, I have a big water bottle that I bring, and I would sit at my desk and drink it all day long, and I was fine. But, like, since I've been home, I have no desire whatsoever. And my muscles are just, like, crumbling and screaming at me.
Like SpongeBob. I don't need it. I don't need it.
And I just, all I want to do is just stuff my face. You know, if I had a nickel for every time I panic ate, like, an entire can of Pringles, during this lockdown, I'd have a shitload of nickels.
Oh, dude, it's not even just that. It's also because we're all spending so much couch time watching TV that it's also just snacking while you eat. I was thinking that the other day. I was like, man, I really wish we had a bag of chips. And I'm thinking, I don't need a bag of chips right now. But because I'm sitting and watching TV, I feel like, you know what? I should probably
and we do the same thing
because right
it keeps you awake, you know, when you're exhausted. Like, I should be stuffing my face.
Yeah.
So let's get a bag of chips or let's get ice cream or cookies or anything while we watch 6 episodes of something on Netflix.
Right. Yeah. And so I think that kind of goes hand in hand with the weight gain and throwing it out. And look, I admire the people who can be disciplined about it. I really do. For me, I want to be able to say, I'm getting up and I'm not going to eat bread or I'm not going to eat, you know, I'm going to stay away from sugar today. And I get that there is kind of a one day at a time strategy that works when people want to get off of certain things. But I mean, I tried cutting down and I thought, well, let me have less of this. But now I'm at the point where I thought I'm at the lesser of two evils stage where what I'm doing is like we were buying soda because that's the thing. Like we have a Stop and Shop nearby and like every other week, Coke products will be 5 for $5. So it's like 5 2-liter bottles. Let's get 3 Dr. Peppers and a root beer and a ginger ale because there's no caffeine. We're going to get one good one.
Yeah. Ginger ale. That's
well, let's justify the whole sale.
That's what I do.
That's Well, that was our thinking. We're like, well, we'll get one thing that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it's made with real ginger.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of what we used to convince ourselves, and we said, okay, well, let's get that because it does have the least amount of sugar of the other sodas. It also doesn't have caffeine. So for a little while it was, okay, well, we'll get ginger ale because that's like the least egregious soda. That's not diet soda because that's worse for you than just drinking regular soda.
So gross. Weirdly enough.
I know. Well, listen, I don't see a lot of skinny people drinking diet soda. I mean, except in LA where just the diet of choice for, well, particularly actresses was just sugar-free Red Bull and cigarettes. But anyway, no room for food in that diet. But
yeah. No way.
We've gotten to the point where we're not so much buying soda. We'll buy iced tea, which is not great, but it has less sugar. It has less calories. So we're going with the lesser of two evils for now, just so we don't get worse or we minimize the damage, so to speak. That's kind of been our approach lately.
I've been doing the Crystal Light packs. That's what I've been getting as far as iced tea goes.
Really?
But most, yeah. But we're trying to drink a lot of seltzer, Noel and I. So.
We do too. To try to pretend it's soda.
The flavored seltzer is the best thing that's ever possibly happened to drinks. I love it so much. And I hated seltzer growing up, but I love those polarized.
Right. It smells so good. It smells like black cherry.
You're drinking,
I'm going to convince
Crystal Light, huh? Huh, yeah. Brenda? Yeah. The 90s called. They want their drink back.
Is that what you're drinking right now?
Are you a middle-aged white woman?
Yeah. No, Ryan, I'm not.
Karen's over here drinking Crystal Light and complaining to the manager. But look, if anybody can be disciplined, again, I do respect the people who are saying, like, look, you should do this every day. I mean, I haven't been as good even with physical activity because of my bad knee. There are stretches that I was doing when I was in physical therapy last year. I didn't even get into that nonsense on the show, but even just doing those stretches was a huge help in as much as it helped my mobility, of course, and then strengthened muscles in my legs, even though I wasn't as sedentary as I've been for the last 3 months, it still was a huge help for me. So even doing those every day, I need to be better about. So I'm not going to, I will completely cop to my lack of discipline when it comes to how I could be handling myself. But overall, I don't, you know, again, I'm not trying to drive myself crazy because there's enough uncertainty with just a lot of what's going on right now that I don't feel like getting down on myself is going to be productive. I'm willing to be more disciplined. But it's funny.
I mean, like you said, these are unprecedented times. So people should feel guilty about maybe eating a little bit more or not being as active just because what can you do? There's only so much you can do in your own home, especially in a space like that we all have. There's only so much that some person can do. So the guilt part, just if anybody makes you feel guilty about it, fuck them. Because I'd like to see them try it with this.
Well, that's it. Everybody's saying that they're doing this.
And even like with, if you're not an athlete, like even just walking around your neighborhood, you know, which is all we've basically been able to do for most of this time. Like if you're stuffing your face with brownies and ice cream and chips, like a walk around the neighborhood is not going to do shit. Like you might as well do nothing. And then like I got to the point where I was like, I don't even want to go for a walk, even if the weather's nice. Like get done with work. I just want to sit on the couch. Don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to sit and sulk until this bullshit is over, and that's it.
Well, it's funny, too, because I find it odd that we're in this place where everybody's supposed to be super motivated and super fit when it comes to, you know, despite the circumstances. There are workouts you can do at home. You should still avoid these foods, blah, blah, blah. And yet, I was, like a lot of people, stunned by the insane backlash that Adele got when photos came out of her having lost weight and looking healthy, not looking emaciated, not looking heroin chic.
I still can't believe that's her.
Right?
I know, it doesn't even look like her. I really, it does not look like her. And all the
good
power
for
to
her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All the power
good
to
for
her.
You.
That's, it's an amazing transformation. And it's just so drastic that I can't believe that's the same woman.
But you don't think she looks unhealthy.
What, say that again?
But you don't think she looks unhealthy, though.
No, like, no, she looks great.
That was a crazy backlash that I didn't understand. People are saying, like, oh, I hope she's okay. No, she got her shit together. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, all right, so in a case like that, if Veronica was the first one to point this out, it's like she obviously has enough money that she can have health coaches and people help her out. So in that respect, it was attainable for her from the get-go. But she doesn't look unhealthy. I wonder if she had to have some kind of surgery to remove excess skin or anything like that. Because I have only seen the one photo she posted on Instagram. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean that in an actual, because like people who were that heavy and lost a substantial amount of weight.
Oh yeah.
Show it.
Yeah, of course. You know? Depending how quickly you lose it, where your body can't catch up.
And she seems to be a pretty private person. And like when she's not making music, you don't see her a lot in the news.
No,
well, that's it.
Like she doesn't make waves doing anything. So like, I don't even know the last time I saw her before this picture popped up. And I'm like, whoa.
This could have been gradual over the last 2 years, and we just didn't see it because she's not publicizing her every move. She's not taking selfies 30 times a day and posting them on Instagram. She's just living her life without having to be public every step of the way.
Advertising stuff that is obviously bad for you.
What, like flat belly tea?
Yeah.
I love that. I love seeing those, you know, in these models. It's like, listen, it's bikini season.
It's bikini season. And then you get the one person that absolutely destroys them. But no one wants to listen to that person.
No, of course not. Because obviously that's how they got in shape. That's why I always love when you see these workout machines that are on like infomercials on TV when you're flipping channels. And there's all these super ripped dudes and really toned women. Like, they did not use this machine to get in that shape. Sorry.
Nope.
Not just this machine.
Yeah.
They may have used it. But not just that.
Well, maybe to maintain. I mean, if you're willing to give that amount of credit, which I would. I'm not saying they're not effective, but like they didn't get ripped using an all-in-one machine of any type.
The Total Gym was a workout, but it did not make you look like Chuck Norris.
No, definitely not.
And if you're that ripped, you don't need like a home curling machine. Like, you probably have a personal trainer, and this is what you do for your life. And there's nothing else. You know, there's no dips in anything. Like you don't need like a fucking ab press at home.
Yeah, and if you miss a day, your metabolism is so high.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, if you miss a day, your metabolism is already so high.
Yeah. Hey, you look good. You want to help us sell this crappy machine? Sure. How much is it? So that's how it goes.
Probably, but
6 easy payments of $34.95.
but that's the funny thing. Now on the other side of that, I find it odd that there's also this sentiment, especially, you know, last year because Hustlers came out and everyone's like, oh, J-Lo looks amazing in her 50s. Like, and then these articles pop up like, here's J-Lo's diet. Here's J-Lo's workout routine. You know how J-Lo is able to stay in that kind of shape in her 50s? Money. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. She has money. She has resources. She can have a dietitian.
She's gorgeous for 50 years old.
She is, but that can be attained with the right resources and with
shit. If I had it, I'd do the same thing. I'd hire a personal trainer.
I'd have a trainer. I'd have a chef. I'd have a nutritionist. Like, that's it. She's not having to.
Cause it takes the work out of it. Cause honestly, on our level, that's the biggest mental block.
Yes.
Is meal prep. And that in my mind is the first thing that you have to, train yourself on. Not so much the change in, well, yes, the change in diet, obviously, but hand in hand with the change in diet. Like, take, for instance, everyone's, you know, on this keto thing. All right. And one of my coworkers from actually back from Safelite and even now currently went on this keto thing within the last 3 months before lockdown happened. And he lost 50 pounds, you know, within 3.5, maybe 4 months now, which is healthy, I think. He looks great, but he has to maintain this state of ketosis. And he does by prepping his meals every day, at least when I work with him. He's got his meal in front of him. He's got his different, you know, his meats, his good fats, things like that. He hates working with me because we always stop at Wawa and he has to get a chocolate donut. And that's how he breaks his keto. But like, I don't,
and then
I don't
inflates
force that
like a parade
him.
Float.
It just, yeah, I don't force that on him. It just happens that, like, you know, oh, we're stopping at Wawa. Oh, you son of a bitch. You know.
And he's got to get his gallon of iced tea.
Yeah.
Right. But you need, like, people like us need willpower. Like, no celebrity is doing this through pure, sheer willpower. They have a team of people
Absolutely.
That they pay for. They have nutritionists and personal trainers and chefs, like Chris said. You know, they don't need just willpower. That's part of it, yes, but when there's a paycheck on the line.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
When you need to get ripped for a movie or like you need to look like J-Lo is supposed to look, you do what you have to do, but you have the support system.
Take a look at, what is that? muscle mags and things like that, where like they'll advertise. Like the big one was when Hugh Jackman was playing Wolverine.
Right.
You know, get ripped like Hugh, or even John Berthall was playing the Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would talk about their workout regime and how they became these characters. And I'm like, yeah, that's amazing. They also had a drill sergeant on their ass every morning at 4 o'clock, you know, busting their hump.
That's their job. I remember last year there were some people, of course, you know, anonymous assholes on the internet, surprise, surprise, but who would actually, there was an interview with Chris Evans, because Avengers Endgame was coming out. It was going to be his last time playing Captain America, Steve Rogers. And there was a thing where he got paid $15 million for Infinity War and Endgame. People are like, oh, shit, I would have done it. $15 million. I would have been. Listen, that dude needs to live, especially for movies that shoot consecutively like that, for a solid year. I don't remember exactly what the time frame was. But
yeah,
that,
it was about that. A little over a year.
That guy had to literally maintain that body. And that means everything he ate, he had to be hyper-conscious of. And his workout had to be regular.
Even his facial hair.
Yeah, that's it. Like there was
continuity.
You have to maintain that to an insane degree. Yeah. Where, yeah, that's why he gets paid
America's
that much
ass.
Money.
He's got to fill it out. He's got to fill out America's ass.
But to maintain that degree,
that is America's ass.
But to maintain that level of fitness, yeah, that's a job. That was his job. So of course he deserves to be paid that much, especially after doing it for 9 years probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But that he gets paid that much money because it's his job. Like, you need to do this shit for a year. You need to be up
and
at 4
he might not make that money ever again because he's not doing things like that anymore. He's not doing big projects like that. So,
well, listen,
he wants to think about retirement down the line. He's set. So,
if it was any of us, I mean, yeah, you'd have to pay us millions of dollars to get us up at 4 a.m. and have us eat, you know, steamed vegetables and steamed chicken. Give up beer and alcohol, which I know for the guys in the bottom row would be a real problem. So, you know what? There is a reason for that. And when it becomes your job to maintain that, yeah. I mean, that was even when they were, when some paparazzi was, stopped Chris Pratt or saw him at the airport or something and said, like, you know, what food do you miss most? He said beer. Because he can't just drink as much beer as he wants to. He's got a physique to maintain.
You know, how do you keep?
Yeah, someone,
is there anything good about this diet? No, nothing's fun.
Yeah, and you said something like that. He was like, "What did you give up for? You know, to get ripped for Guardians?" He was like, "Fun."
Yeah. Well, that was. I remember. It was a couple of years ago, maybe after he won the Oscar, that Matthew McConaughey was doing an interview and talking about how he had, you know, he's had abs and he's been super ripped and he's had to. But he said, "I was miserable." He said, "I looked great, but I was miserable because I couldn't eat and drink what I wanted to. Like, I couldn't live my life. Like, you can have that body, but it comes at a price. Like, you were maintaining that. Like, that's kind of your life. And
yeah,
I wouldn't want to do it.
In that respect, it's almost like you said, it is your life. So, you have to forget what tastes pleasurable.
Right.
If that makes sense. Like for instance, my one Jewish coworker never had bacon before, never had ham.
You're kidding.
He kept No, but he kept kosher and all this other stuff. So he does not know what that tastes like. Honestly, he never even tried fake stuff. He does not know what bacon tastes like. And I thought to myself, like, it's kind of mind blowing, for instance, because we take that for granted. Because at least the four of us here, we love bacon.
Right.
You know?
But
so we kind of take that for granted. Like, you don't know what bacon tastes like? Like, that used to be my breakfast for God knows how many years.
Well, it's interesting because there definitely is, I mean, it's just a biological fact that you will start to, the better you eat, the more you'll start to crave. In the same way, like, I crave sugar. Well, if I stopped eating sugar at a point, you know, is a point where your body kind of goes through, let's say, withdrawal, and you're not going to crave it anymore. But, you know, as you start eating healthier, that those are the foods your body craves. In the same way, we crave fat and starch and sugar
and yeah,
right. So stuff your body is adaptable that way, and just because of basically necessity. Last year, after I had an endoscopy in February, actually. And because of my ongoing esophagus issues, which I talked about a bit in the past, if you want to look up a Scarcast, an episode from the only podcast that matters, I don't remember exactly. It was sometime maybe the end of the first year. It was a while ago.
That was early on.
Yeah, that was very, very early. And I talked about like the issues with my ulcer and the esophagus, all this that's kind of started in 2008 that's still being looked at. And there are new things when it comes to me finally seeing an allergist and stuff like that, that definitely play a role. But anyway, one of the things that were possible culprits were allergens that won't necessarily show up on the surface. And I swear this is going somewhere, but you can get an allergy test for food allergies that are on the that maybe your skin will react to, but maybe not internally. So he said, are you having issues with, eggs, wheat, soy, beef? And I'm like, oh, you know what? I've had beef products and steak and things like that get stuck in my esophagus multiple times. That may be the culprit. I will say this. I have not had any bovine of any kind. I haven't had beef, steak, nothing, with the exception of, unfortunately, a hot dog I had last summer that did get stuck, which was an all beef hot dog, which Ryan still hasn't forgiven me for, I don't think.
Yeah, that was
that slight lapse in judgment.
That was a bad day.
That was a really bad day. But other than that, and that was like, I got like two bites into it. I didn't exactly finish the hot dog. It didn't, I didn't eat much of it, but I haven't had beef in a year and about 4 months now. And I don't miss it. I don't miss steak. I don't miss burgers. I don't miss eating tacos with beef. It's not something I think. I mean, sometimes I'll look at, I'll think, oh, that'd be nice. Like we ordered from Red Robin the other week and I thought, oh, that burger looks good, but they offer a turkey patty. Okay. That's good enough for me. Or like we've been eating turkey dogs instead of all beef hot dogs, which I ate in the past. And they're fine. Like I really don't mind it. And I don't think, man, I'm really missing out because I can't eat beef. So to be honest, having not eaten it, I don't have a problem. I don't miss it. I may think about it in the moment, but otherwise.
But there's good stuff to substitute with, like you said, turkey or chicken or whatever. Like I make turkey burgers all the time here. So Noelle and I have tried to do that too. We've lessened our amount of beef that we eat, so we're eating more turkey and more other stuff like that. So,
oh yeah, that and look,
more
we know,
fish stuff
we,
like that.
We know red meat's bad for you. I mean,
totally.
Listen, the word's out. It's not really a surprise to anybody. So in health respect, when it comes to cardiologically, then yeah, obviously it is a smart decision. But for me, it's because I'm clearly having trouble, having some kind of reaction that's causing my esophagus to basically swell up. So I said, okay, well, you know what? I don't like steak or burgers or any. I don't like red meat enough for me to say, you know what? It's worth literally choking on when it happens. No big deal. So giving it up, it really wasn't as hard as I thought. So that kind of makes me think in terms of how much easier it would be to give up stuff that isn't good for me. Because again, I don't think about, I'll have moments. I mean, I was actually mentioning, I think we talked about this in the test show, but when Ryan came out to visit me in 2017, we went to a place in Pasadena called Slater's, this burger place, Slater's 50-50. Ah. And their signature burger is half ground beef, half ground bacon, and it is a really good burger.
Awesome.
It is. It's very, very awesome. And I would say, and Jack's salivating just thinking about it right now. And two of Andrew's favorite things, the meat and meat combined together to make a patty. Hey, but yeah, I was thinking about that. I'm like, oh damn, I'm probably not going to be able to have that again. Damn. But I'm thinking, you know what? It's nice not having to worry about having something get stuck in my esophagus and having to choke on it for 2 hours.
It's a small price to pay instead of having you
fucking hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's, see, you guys
you're
can kind of,
beef kid.
you can understand like my thinking in that. I mean,
you
guys saw me.
You have a legitimate problem. I mean, like short of that though, nobody can look me in the eye and keep a straight face and say that turkey is as good as beef when it comes to a burger, or turkey bacon is as good as real bacon. No fucking way.
Well, no, turkey bacon
nothing
is probably worse.
Nothing's the real thing, okay? But you have a legitimate problem, like where you're choking on it. Like, I get it, but like as far as someone like just trying to replace beef, you can't like actually. I don't know how people convince themselves that turkey or chicken products are as good as the beef that they're trying to imitate, because they're just not. I've tried them. I've had.
I mean, they're
burgers.
Not, but they're I've good. Had they're good bacon, though. If you cook them the right way, they're good.
Yeah. Has anybody?
Yeah, they're passable. Like I'll eat them, but like the people that'll tell you that they're as good as beef, they're fucking liars. They're liars.
They're not comparable.
They're not comparable.
They're not the same thing. Whereas, you know, you can grill a chicken and grill a steak. It's two different flavors, even if you put the same seasoning on it. So you can't compare the two. But just like Chris was saying, like I found that like I haven't drank a beer in months because I found that more and more beers are starting to affect me. And I don't know what.
Yeah, his allergies come like, back, basically.
Yeah, like what Chris was explaining what he went through with the throat closing and everything like that. And I'm just going to assume that when he had this burger, you felt like you had to throw up. You were salivating a lot. It felt like a burp that wouldn't come out. It sat like right here the entire time.
For me, it's which I'm too young to supposedly have, and especially was at 26 when I first had it. But it's a stricture in the lower third of my esophagus. So the lower third is what swells, and that's where stuff gets caught. So I really don't have a choice but to try to pass it through swallowing water and trying to get it to go down gradually, which was kind
but
of
it hurts
process.
Like hell.
It does, and it's left scarring on my esophagus because my esophagus
because your ass, the acid's coming back up and trying to dissolve it. Your body's trying to solve the problem naturally,
right?
But in that event, it's also hurting itself.
Yeah, but I feel I feel it in my chest, like for me, because in the lower third,
yeah, like right here.
Yes,
yeah, I'm right there with you, man.
Okay, but see, are you craving beer? You probably have similar moments where you think. It'd be nice to have.
Well, there's plenty.
It's not
like,
worth it.
You know, I still follow all the breweries. You know, I follow Ryan when he posts stuff up about all these different beers that he's had because you're part of that that box program, whatever it is. So like, yeah, I look at it and go, wow, that must taste fucking great. You know, that IPA looks so juicy. That stout looks so amazing, dude. Ryan, I had a Trillium Night and Day Stout. All right, but I split a bottle with one of my coworkers. I couldn't even finish the glass. A Trillium.
Wow.
You know, I'm
that
like,
makes me sad.
It made me sad because I how much have I talked about that place?
Did you save the rest for Ryan?
I know. It
would have been the gentlemanly thing to do. But
yeah,
okay.
You should have saved it for me.
Yeah. but in that case, like I've gone with I know Ryan has met Joel. I don't know if Jack and Chris, if I ever introduced.
Oh yeah,
him.
I met him. Yeah, 2 years.
Yeah, the tall. Yes, okay. He and I have gone to breweries.
Wait,
Is
his name really Joel?
Is no, it like
Jack's, Joel. Jack's wife is really Noel, even though they call her Noel.
Yes,
is it like that?
Spelled, yes, it's spelled Joel.
Joel, my ass. Jarell, Kal-El.
Yeah.
Is he from?
Oh, that's right. I'm calling
you
him.
You should tell him.
Jal-El.
Joel from Krypton. That should be his name.
Jor-El.
He'd love that.
Good. Pass it on.
But like,
you're welcome.
But we would go to the different breweries. We'd get flights, and I would just literally just sip on this and go, all right, I can drink this one. And I'll finish that glass, and I'll have another one and go, nope, can't do it. And I give it to him. So at least there's that benefit of going to a brewery and having a flight where you only have, 4 ounces of whatever it is.
Right. I mean, I will say I've probably had, on occasion, I've been, extra conscious about pepperoni specifically because some of it's made with beef and pork. It's very rare you can find kind of like all beef, and turkey pepperoni is pretty awful. So I haven't had it much, but there are times when I've had a slice of pepperoni pizza and it's okay. And I don't know. I mean, that's been my, because it was recommended, that's been my, like, policies just blanket, like, no beef of any kind. Steak is particularly one, I guess, cause Andrew probably know more than me because he's more of a carnivore than I am, more of a carnivore enthusiast, maybe. But maybe it's the cut that's, like steak specifically, not necessarily beef that affects me, but.
It could be.
I don't know. I don't.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you're talking about like a physical stricture, it probably has more to do with the texture and the size of what you're eating.
The
a chunk of steak is going to be higher to. Yeah. Or like a chunk of ground beef, like you're taking a big bite out of a burger as opposed to a little piece of pepperoni. Like a little piece of pepperoni is not getting stuck in your esophagus.
Yeah.
Well, for me, it's also tough to gauge.
More than likely.
Well, the swelling, when it inflames, just like with any other allergy, when you your nose gets all fucked up and inflamed and you can't breathe out of it, it's kind of the same where you can't swallow. So the thing is, it's I chalk it up to that because that's what I've choked on more often, you know, the most often when I can, the occasions I can think of it has been specifically steak or like, you know, a beef hot dog, which that has happened before. I didn't necessarily put the connection to it, but when it comes to other things, I've had things like fruit or even salad like get stuck, but that's also because my esophagus was already partially swollen. So it doesn't mean that necessarily triggered it. So that, again, that's an ongoing process, but I don't really miss, again, I don't really crave beef. And I don't really miss it, but just similarly, and I'm not going to make the argument like everybody should give up beef. I'm not saying that, but like for me, I tried the Impossible Whopper and it really wasn't that different to me that I couldn't eat it. Like, have any of you guys tried the Impossible Whopper by chance?
Yeah.
And
it was good. I liked it.
I mean, is it too far away from a Whopper where you're like, I couldn't eat this, or was it close enough that you're like, this would do?
It's very, it's passable. If you didn't know it was an actual like plant-based product, it would pass for a Whopper, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, in as much as texture and
flavor. Texture, taste, everything. Yeah, it felt normal. So.
Yeah, I wasn't thrown by it either, and I thought, well, that's a good alternative. And again, just when we've ordered burgers, I get a turkey burger, and I'm not saying it's as good as beef, but it's also rare that I'm getting a burger that's literally just ground beef on a bun, and that's it. If you put enough cheese and condiments and whatnot on a burger, it doesn't fucking matter what the patty's made of, frankly. So it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, with turkey, I realize you got to put some spices and stuff in there, and
add some
flavor.
Too.
You got to add some flavor to that.
Oh yeah,
turkey by itself is so bland and disgusting.
But with anything,
yeah.
I mean, you season like when you make meatballs. You know, you do the same thing. You season
like
them
even
up.
Even ground beef. Like you got to put something in it.
Yeah,
whether it's a meatball or a burger, you season it anyway.
Tacos, lest we forget, you don't want just regular unseasoned beef in a taco.
I mean,
you're going to want to season it, and you're loading tacos with a bunch of stuff, unless you're Andrew and you only like cheese. But
sazon adobo.
Any right thinking? Yeah, see, Andrew just said something. I know adobo. Otherwise, I don't know. But
know
you
sazon.
Would season that. I know. Obviously, I'm joking.
I was going to say you know sazon.
Sazon adobo. Okwa tenzin wan. I don't know what Andrew's talking about. Yes, obviously you have to season meat. It doesn't really matter what it is. So, like, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't look at turkey as just like, oh, this is bland. Well, any meat unseasoned is bland.
That's true.
I mean, we've all had like peppercorn encrusted steaks, or you know, things like that, or wasabi rub steak. You know, something. There's a lot of that which you're not necessarily just going to eat a straight up meat, just straight up cooked, just because, unless you're a weirdo. But I feel like that's more the exception than the rule. One other bizarre thing in terms of the weight thing, and this is kind of my final question as far as everybody's opinion on how it is there was a thing. On the opposite end of the Adele thing, where everybody's looking at her weight loss and saying like, oh, I hope she's okay, or she doesn't look healthy, and blah, blah, blah. There's this, and I feel like it's going too far. Just my opinion. I feel like it's going too far in one direction to where it's going to be, where it's trying to overcompensate for maybe being unfair in the past. And that is the fact that when whatever show it was recently, I mean, at this point, it's a couple of months ago. Every day is basically the same now. So I'm going to say it was probably a couple of months ago when Jillian Michaels was on some morning show and was talking about Lizzo, and people were pissed off that a fitness expert was saying Lizzo's body type is unhealthy and could lead to problems down the line, which was essentially what she was saying. And everybody needs to fire back with the everybody's beautiful and every healthy, you know, it's how do you know she's unhealthy? Just because she, you know, is overweight doesn't mean she's unhealthy. Okay, number one, it probably does in some capacity. It's not like being overweight has health benefits that we know of. But aside from that, it's a weird thing because, and I apologize if you're watching it, I'm constantly touching my nose because allergies, as Andrew would say. Allergy season. So I am getting, my nose is itching a little bit. So I apologize, but it looks like, what's he doing? Like I'm super fidgety now that we're on camera and I'm hyper conscious. Yeah, like Andrew picks his beard. I scratch my nose because there's a little bit of allergy itch going on. But first of all, not all bodies are beautiful. Beauty is subjective. it's true. Listen,
it's true.
Beauty is subjective.
It's true. Yeah.
And let's be honest, we live in a superficial world. Even if you don't want to admit it, sorry, it is. It's superficial, whereas, particularly in America, very superficial culture. So let's not deny that there is an element of, there is some type of beauty. And I get the idea. There is a good idea behind embracing all bodies are beautiful and it doesn't matter what body type you have, and that's fine. And I get that there's a positive sentiment behind it. But the idea that it's like you can't talk about the fact that Lizzo's overweight or obese because it's somehow impolite, but you can question if Adele's healthy because she's skinny now is...
Yeah, right.
It's a weird...
It's a perfect example of a double standard.
It is. It's a weird dichotomy. Listen,
yeah, and I'm not going to criticize Lizzo for being as overweight as she is. Like, I have no purpose in doing that. But at the same time, like, show me a doctor who's not going to look at her and say, hey, if you want to live a long life and maybe see grandkids, like, you're going to have to do something.
Yeah, of course.
Like,
nobody's like, you're doing the right thing, Lizzo. Nobody's going to say that to her.
Yeah. Maybe she's not going to have a heart attack tomorrow, but, you know, there's no way that all that extra weight is healthy and manageable for the long term. It's just not. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can think that she's beautiful all you want, but it doesn't mean she's healthy. And people need to start admitting this kind of business to themselves.
I find it interesting. Because before Lizzo was famous for whatever reason she's famous for, there was a show.
It's that song.
One of the
whatever that song is. I think we all know it.
Truth Hurts.
I don't know.
Juice.
Oh, apparently it does. It wasn't this it?
Yeah.
Nope, that's not it. Sorry, that
no,
was
that's not it.
That was.
What did you just make me listen to?
That was Jack's wedding song. I'm sorry.
Or Jack.
I was looking for Lizzo, and nope, something else came up.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever song. Sorry, Andrew. You were saying.
There was a show on whatever, you know, housewife program my wife was watching at the time, where they had an overweight woman talking about how she does all this dancing and she does this, that, and the other thing, and how she's healthy, but she weighs close to 400 pounds. No. That's great that you have the flexibility and the endurance to be a dancer, and you may do things in your life, but I bet you the weight is contributing more negatively than you'd like to try and admit.
Yeah, I mean, that extra weight, it impacts your organs, your skeletal system, your muscles. Like, that is not healthy.
And she's like,
it doesn't matter that, like, maybe you don't have diabetes right now. Maybe you don't have cardiovascular issues, but that is not healthy. Like, that kind of extra weight is dangerous for your organs.
It can develop, and you can also, it's harder to take off as you get older, too.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Don't we all know it? Well, she's in her 20s, too, isn't she? She's young.
Yeah.
Probably. She's young. Yeah.
So there's nobody you look at and say, oh well, obviously that person's healthy. I mean, I feel like it's something where they've gone way out of the way to be polite or politically correct or whatever you want to call it. Just say like, no, this is okay. She's beautiful. She's fine the way she is. The whole idea that you're fine the way you are. I get the point behind it in as much as.
Well, that's in her music too. She puts that into her music, and that she's big and beautiful and everything else. And that's great because it gives people maybe like that more confidence, but. The truth is you're not exactly healthy, like we were saying.
Well, you can love yourself.
You know what I find funny is that the big and beautiful, or BBW, whatever you want to classify it as, is very much stereotyped to the black women. You have Lizzo, you have what was that movie, Precious?
Yes.
You know, all of the, you know, even Madea, you know, when those movies come out, she's not exactly, you know, Tyler Perry is not exactly playing a thin black grandmother in those. So you want to play that card, go right ahead. Cause why did you attack Adele? Or why did even Gabriel Iglesias, he made a whole joke about it, about how he went to the doctor. The doctor turned around and said, listen, you got, you know, 3 years to live if you don't do anything.
Right.
Because he had all this, you know, cardiovascular and diabetes and everything else because he was 400 plus pounds. He lost weight and his fans started coming up to him going, you're not fluffy anymore.
Right.
No, but I'm friggin' healthier.
No.
Oh, even Kevin Smith, same thing. The guy had a heart attack. He's like, I'm going to lose weight. And people are like, fuck you. You're not the same anymore. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't want to die fat for the sake
of my
image.
You're right. I should have died of a heart attack, really. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, for the sake of my image and because I look a certain way. But you know what? Unfortunately, and I do mean it is unfortunate when part of the reason for like Adele's popularity, to a degree was probably because, and it seems like this is justified based on some of the internet outrage, no matter how phony or genuine it was. But the idea of like people identified with her or women liked her because she physically resembled them in some capacity. I mean, I don't think that's too far of a stretch. I feel like the fact that people were so upset that she's not Adele anymore, she's not the same to me. Oh, I don't know if I like this. Kind of proves it.
But that goes against your entire basis for fandom, because if this person inspires you so much, even if it started with the base attitude of she looks like me or he looks like me, I identify with the physical aspect of this person, wouldn't you as a mentally engaged fan want to emulate this behavior and want to he can do it. He was really overweight like I was. Why can't I do it too?
Because people feel insulted. Everybody thinks it's about them, no matter yeah. what. You know, you're losing weight, so you're saying I'm fat. No, not at all. And look, I'm not criticizing Lizzo. I'm not criticizing Adele. Like, I don't have the fucking time to criticize people.
Right. Maybe now. Mentality.
Yeah, absolutely.
And none of us are perfect, and we're all overweight. We eat what we want. Like, none of us is in a position to criticize anyone for their weight.
Even if none of us are 400 pounds, it still doesn't matter. Worst shape of my life right now.
None of us have abs. Like, we're not skinny. You know.
Right.
I'm in the same boat as you, Andrew. I'm in the worst shape I've ever been in.
There's a point where you can't say that someone who is 200 pounds overweight is healthy, because they're just not. They're not.
Yeah. Well, that again is why I find the two responses to those examples, which are really close together. They were like a week apart when that picture of Adele came out, and then when Jillian Michaels was talking about Lizzo, where it's okay. So then where are we? It's like, if you're healthy and you're healthy for you, then people want to be concerned about you. But if you're overweight, it's like, hey, you can't say anything about that person. But you know what? A lot of it is, and you know what? I'm going to put this on Americans because they don't want to hear about it. But a lot of it does come down to, and we've talked about it here, but it is discipline, personal responsibility, being responsible for your health, your weight, your fitness, your overall wellness. You know, that does come down to the individual, and we don't want to hear about that. And that's why there are very few people, in particularly anybody running for office. And you still hear
cognitive dissonance and, confirmation bias.
Oh yeah. Well, people still hear the criticism about how dare Michelle Obama try to make our kids eat vegetables. Oh man, yeah. What a self-righteous bitch. Oh boy, I can't believe she tried to do that. No, not really. Like, it is a good idea. You're welcome to disagree with it, and your kids can eat fried food every night of the week at home. But
they can turn out worse than me.
Well, you're saying that, buddy. We're not.
Like I just said, I am in the worst shape of my life right now. I am the heaviest I have ever been at 250 pounds. I completely feel uncomfortable with my body. Like, even sitting here talking to you guys, like I've got fucking tits. Like,
show us.
It's not good.
Show us. Not really.
it's a vicious cycle that it goes against your depression and everything else. So it's hard. I get it. Believe me, I am not motivated at all. I am probably one of the least motivated people you know. But being in this position, and then, it just keeps going and going and going and going. So like you said, Chris, it comes down to personal responsibility of getting help. And that may not be, a weight loss help at first. That may be mental help at first. You may have to go see someone, a therapist or something, to talk to them to find out, no, I had underlying issues to begin with, or this, my problem stems from this. Right. Like, I'm a boredom eater. I know I am. I have been. And that's my downfall, especially during this quarantine time, is that, what else am I going to do? I can't go out. The government is telling me I can't go out. So what am I going to do? I'm going to sit my fat ass on the couch. I'm going to look at my phone.
Watch Harry Potter.
Not even that. I don't even watch movies anymore. I'm just scrolling through whatever social media feed I have on my phone, or playing Pokemon Go, and I'm munching away on popcorn.
Now, is that, when it comes to you being a board meter, is that, if you're okay with getting into it, is that something that was uncovered during therapy, or did you have self-awareness about that on your
own? The amount.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I've always known that I'm a board meter. I could have told you that way back when we knew each other in high school. You know, if I had nothing to do for the day, I would, and there was food in the house, I'm in my room and I'm eating. I'm a neckbeard. I'm in my room. I'm eating. I'm on the internet. I knew that, but the amount that I do and the unhealthy amount of salt and sugar that I consume was brought to light.
So do you, well, number one, obviously you're not saying Kevin Smith is shaming you by losing weight and making you feel bad about yourself. I think that's part of your message. But also,
yes, yes.
is this something that you look at and you feel like where you are right now, as in as much as you're saying like you're in the worst shape of your life, is this something that you look at as because you're not able to get out as much, or do you think this is just the accumulation of your lifestyle over the last X amount of time?
Both.
Yeah.
Because
your job is sedentary. That's part of it.
Exactly. Just like Jack said. Yeah, this is the most sedentary job I've ever had. So yeah, that has been a factor. And I've said that to my boss too. I'm like, no, put me on the back of a truck. I want to physically get out and, you know, flip garbage cans instead of sitting there driving around with an automatic truck.
Right.
Like I want to be able to get out and do something. But also because of this whole quarantine thing, and like we discussed before, how Veronica and I were on a 14-day lockdown because of her catching it. Mm. I've been drinking so much soda. And like Ryan and I can attest to, like, we used to go through 24 packs back in high school. Like, it was water. Well, I can't do that anymore. Yeah. Like, I can't do that anymore. I mean, I can physically do that. I can drink it. Like, that's no problem, but getting rid of it,
yeah, you can't,
you know, like,
no, you can't.
I think I have a soda from 2 months ago still in my stomach. Like,
maybe. I mean, well, that's it. It sticks. It doesn't just come. I mean, your metabolism slows down. I was through my 20s, even though I had times when I fluctuated a little bit. But I mean, my metabolism was in a place where a lot of times I could burn off. And frankly, it still is there when I am disciplined and when I do cut out the stuff that I know isn't good for me. When I do cut down on sugar, when I don't eat as much, you know, bread or ice cream or whatever, shock of shocks, I lose weight rather quickly. So I know that it does come down to me, but it still is hard. Like, it does take.
It's hard.
And that does sap your motivation, too. I mean, when you realize, oh, it's going to take longer for this to come off if I want to lose so many pounds, it's going to require more of a long-term effort. It's hard. And especially now, like I said, you know, it's very easy to be focused on what's comfortable now because we're in this uncomfortable situation.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. It's very much a mental thing. And when you have such a mentally draining atmosphere because of what's going on, or a mentally exhausting job, you know, whether you're sitting at a desk all day or you're, you know, trying to concentrate on multiple things at one time, and then you get home from work and the only thought on your mind is taking a shower and going to bed.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and you have
a shower, sit on the couch, and that's it. That's my day.
Yeah. I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
there's nothing to look forward to.
Like yesterday, I'm the assistant supervisor now. So yesterday I was in charge because my supervisor is out on leave right now for other reasons. Something happened with one of the trucks that I had to go clean up. That was something that was easily preventable. So of course, you know, my anger and my frustration is skyrocketing. And by the time I finish that and I get home at, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock at night, it got to the point where I told Veronica on the phone, I'm like, I don't want to think right now. Like, yeah. You know, just make me food and I'm going to go to bed.
I feel that way too. And as much as it's been in the last, you know, 2 weeks with the protests and everything, it's emotionally exhausting, especially when you see the people defending the awful behavior. It's like, oh my God, like, it's exhausting realizing that these people exist in the world to a degree, which we were frankly naive. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
To a degree. I mean, in as much as where we are, you know, New Jersey is a very mixed state.
We're a salad, definitely.
Yeah, we are. There's a lot of mixture. There's a whole mixture, the whole wide swath of people here, whereas in a lot of other states, that's not the case. And so for us, it's more, I think, seeing this and more so hearing, not that we're unaware of the negative side and what people are pushing back against now, but the people who are defending horrible behavior, who are pushing back against the protesters.
Blatantly, which is recorded horrible behavior, and they found some kind of spin on it to make it about the victim.
Oh, totally. To make them the victim, to make themselves.
They always do.
Yeah. I can't stand it.
I can't either. I mean, and in fact, well, that'll kind of wind it down. I don't want to go too deep down the rabbit hole.
I'm leaving it at that.
Into it. No, of course. But I mean, just, because one final note, we'll end on this. This is for Andrew and Jack. When it comes to taking down statues and monuments and renaming things, related to Christopher Columbus, as a third generation, American of Italian heritage, I have no problem with them pulling down and renaming anything Christopher Columbus. I don't feel like it's bad timing.
That. Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah, Andrew, where do you land on it?
How many blankets full of smallpox or measles did he bring over?
Enough.
It's funny because you sent me the other article about the Confederate stuff.
Yeah.
I had known about that before you sent that to me. And for the listeners and viewers, if you're out there, there was a petition going around saying that they want to take that. I think it's specifically Robert E. Lee.
They want
to replace it with, Odorous Ungerus from Guar. Cause he's from Virginia.
Right.
And I go ahead.
I'd be far more. I mean,
he can't be, he's just as horrible. He did drugs all his life and everything. So like, what the hell?
Well, I mean, he didn't enslave, people and claim to discover something.
If you
that was
follow the storyline, he did. Yeah. This is the Toilet Earth.
Odorous Ungerus did. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't have a problem. I mean, all this. I feel like time bears a lot of this stuff out, and there you can look at it from the perspective of, okay, this person isn't as great as maybe you thought they were. Maybe they were celebrated for the wrong reasons. And the idea that, I mean, same thing with the Confederacy. It's like they lost. Like you are celebrating people who surrendered, who were fighting for the wrong thing. They were the ones who were anti-America at the time. They were not for the Union. And ironically, these are the people who now think they're the heroes who were sticking up for America. It's a weird.
I just can't believe that in 2020, it's like, oh, NASCAR's like, no, we'll finally ban those Confederate flags.
So in response to that, Jack, they had already limited Confederate flags. So it's not new that they're doing something like this. The only thing it new is that now it's completely banned.
Yes.
As opposed to limited in certain venues.
I just don't understand why people still have an affinity for the Confederacy. Like even down in the South, like why do you have a connection to that?
I get
anymore.
And most of the people that try to defend it have it for the wrong reason. Society.
There is no Confederacy anymore. It was gone 150 fucking years ago. And they were traitors. Again.
They were traitors. And, they died or surrendered. So it's not like they were like, listen, they fought, it's not like I don't even have something to compare it to because like, they lost. I mean, that's the funny thing. I don't know what the sorry, South. This is a stereotype, but I don't know why they have an affinity for losers, Nazis and Confederates. I mean, it's like, why are these the two groups that lost are the ones you're like, you know what? I'm going to back those guys.
The two of them have the same affinity to white power, white supremacy.
Which, if you look at it, lost.
There you go.
Yeah.
You muted yourself for a second.
I did. I was trying to switch the camera. The two of them lost. Those are two groups that lost. And they were for white supremacy. What does that tell you? But anyway, not to take it to too far a geopolitical
edge
place.
Lords.
I don't know. That's that. Take down the Columbus stuff. It's fine. I mean, as a team, because we want to weigh in and just be like,
fuck that guy.
It. It doesn't matter. There are plenty of honorable people through history. Just because.
The guy that America is named after.
He didn't actually discover America. I don't know why nobody actually knows this right now.
Yeah,
the land that we're on right now, that this year, he didn't discover this.
Ryan, there's a big percentage of the country that thinks Jesus was born here, Caucasian, and spoke English,
and that there's chocolate milk comes from brown cows.
Yeah, like you can't.
And that's not even a joke.
That's not true.
You can't.
That's it.
We found one.
All right, that's it. I give up.
Yeah, make Election Day a day off instead of Columbus Day. How about that?
Fucking A. If it's going to be on a Tuesday, make it a day off, which at this point, nobody will be back to work anyway, so it won't even matter. And yeah, on that note...
should be a national holiday.
All right. Thank you guys for coming back again, because we can continue going down this rabbit hole, but frankly, we'd like to do this again, because clearly we're having fun, and you guys are happy to see it. There was a very positive response to the four of us, I mean, at least told to me, about the four of us doing something together, because it's always fun. We have fun and we enjoy each other. And if you want more fun, you can follow Jack at JackWagon85 on Twitter, JacksonFigure1985 on Instagram. You can follow Ryan on Instagram at HoneyIDrunkTheBeers and on Twitter at Tagsonian. And you can follow Andrew on basically Instagram and Snapchat at Metal_Drew. And you can follow me on Twitter at Chris Abalo and on Instagram at Chris Sells Out. And you can follow the show at Cape Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And, of course, like, subscribe, share, all that other, you know, nonsense that everybody tells you when you watch a video on YouTube. Do all that. And we'll be back at some point. And, of course, the show will be back next Monday. So, until then, for Jack.
Hey, wait, 1 second. Oh, 1 second. Damn it. I'm going to cut you off.
You messed up my
flow.
Because
I want to try something. We all have a drink in our hands, don't we?
My glass is empty because I'm getting fatter. As
I got a little bit of water left. So.
All right, that's fine. That's,
I'm
that's
so dedicated
enough.
To the cause.
There's a spit left in your glass, though. Mm-hmm. To fighting, stealing, and drinking. If you fight, may you fight for a friend. If you steal, may you steal a lover's heart. If you drink, drink what you like and drink with me.
Oh,
sounds very Irish.
Where'd you steal that from, Andrew?
Woo! I'll tell you off camera.
Ah, boo. Well, on that
but anyway,
note, leave you guys
can continue
hanging.
Your ending now.
I was like 3 seconds away, but all right, here we go. For Jack, Andrew, Ryan, and me, until next week, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment.
I think we got a lot accomplished here today. We'll pick this up again tomorrow.